This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tung Chung Han with the top business news of the day. U-Mobile is a beta, a positive, and is looking to list after the 14th general election. So why after the 14th general election? And maybe somebody could tell us again, what is EBITDA? Is that something before taxes? I can't remember the whole acronym. It's a fantastic acronym.
Yeah, so it's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
Wonderful. Yeah, so this is a story in today's Edge Financial Daily. U-Mobile CEO Wong Hyang Tak said that the market is rather uncertain at this point of time. He talks about the softness in the retail segment right now. So by waiting for till after GE14, he thinks that whatever negative overhang will be lifted, and also then consumer sentiment will improve, and that hopefully this will translate into higher spending from subscribers.
Yeah, no, you got to know that U-Mobile has come a long way since they were launched, I think 10 years ago, 2007. Now, also recall back in June this year, they terminated their RAN share agreement with Maxis. So now that U-Mobile has its own network, you know, plus that extra spectrum in the 1800 megahertz and also the 900 megahertz bands, essentially they're weaning themselves off having to share networks with Maxis by end of 2018. In other words, they are able to now stand on their own feet, at least try to.
Okay, some facts for everybody. U-Mobile is now Malaysia's fourth largest mobile operator. It has 5.6 million subscribers, and their market share is at about over 11%.
Yeah, so they've done really well, especially since they were a late entrant to this party. You know, Maxis, Digi and Celcom were way ahead of them, but they've really clawed back. Add to that that they are now EBITDA positive. Now, just to repeat that again, EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So not quite profitable yet. Over the last two financial years, they've actually lost about 850 million ringgit. But being EBITDA positive brings them closer to becoming more appealing to equity investors. However, more money needs to be invested. This year's CapEx is $1 billion. Next year's CapEx is also another billion ringgit.
They also have got the brand, the 700 megahertz spectrum tender coming up. So that's going to cost U-Mobile some money.
Yeah, so that 700 megahertz band, and now that is said to have a wider reach and better indoor penetration. So for you folks listening out there, when that is set to come online, I think 2019, hopefully that'll translate into better services, better mobile service indoors, okay? So back in October this year, MCMC released the costs. So 8 blocks up for grabs between A to H. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I think that's it. Yeah, correct. So each being 2 times 5 megahertz. So each of these...
You know your alphabet,
I know,
you?
Right? Clang education. Holla. All right, it's not. Each block, okay, each of these blocks will cost over 215 million ringgit if based on one lump sum. If they did an installment, like say up to 15 years, it would double to over 417 million ringgit.
Now, on top of that, you have the annual fee for each spectrum block, which will be about 18.54 million ringgit per year over the next 15 years. So U-Mobile can expect to spend almost half a billion ringgit between 2019 and 2034. 2019 being the effective date for the spectrum and assignment. And the application for this, in fact, closes January 2nd, 2018.
Oh, my birthday.
Oh, yeah, you just had to throw that
in. Yeah, you had to throw that in.
What is that?
Yeah,
what's
it got to do with the price of fish? Nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing.
So anyway, so depending on how this 700 megahertz spectrum gets allocated, I mean, that could be a huge boost, right, in terms of drawing in potential investors for its IPO, apparently slated for after GE14.
Okay, time to move on to Felder Global Ventures. Following its leadership merry-go-round, FGV is now reportedly investigating its acquisition of Asian plantations, and FGV may even press charges against some of its own directors who were in office at the time of the deal.
Yeah, back to the good old story that keeps on giving. All right, so the issues here with this deal, with this Asian plantations deal, okay? One, you've got the high price paid for Asian plantations back in 2014, over 1 billion ringgit. Now, that includes paying over 600 million ringgit, and on top of that, taking on almost 400 million ringgit in liabilities. So all these numbers coming from an exclusive in the Edge Weekly, just to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, so according to the Edge Weekly also, FGV paid more, 3 times more per hectare versus what was offered to another big government-linked plantation company. So they paid versus 65,000 per ringgit per hectare versus 20,000 that was offered to somebody else. FGV also paid a premium of almost 300% over the net asset value per share for Asian plantations as of December 2013. So Asia Plantations at the time was listed on in the UK's alternative investment market, or AIM.
Yeah, so after taking on all that financial burden, okay, just to compound matters there, apparently FGV is left with this big portion of land that is unplantable. Okay, 40% of its more than 24,000 hectares, guess what? They can't use it for palm oil. They can't plant anything on there. So on top of that, you got the former owners of Asian Plantations. They apparently developed 700 hectares of land that they did not own. Okay, on top of that, there's more. But wait, there's more. Apparently, Deloitte, according to this article, they had this due diligence report, which didn't shine a nice light on this deal to begin with. That report apparently did not even get submitted to the board of directors. Yet, amidst all these issues, that deal still went through back in 2014. That's why they're investigating it.
And there's so many questions, Han and Brian, you know, because who's behind Asian Plantations, you know, that's a big question. And maybe more to the point, who's driving these investigations?
Well, according to the Edge Weekly, that person would be FGV's current chairman, Dato Azahar Abdul Hamid. He was appointed to the post by Prime Minister back in September.
All right, and going back to your other question there, Sharad, and these names are detailed in the Edge Weekly report there. So among the major shareholders of Asian Plantations when FGV took over include Tan Sri Leonard Lingi Juga and also Tan Sri Leo Mogi, who is the current chairman of Tanaga National. Names like Dennis Nicholas Melka, Graham Ian Brown, etc. So it's all there in the Edge Weekly.
Okay. Also, all this, I guess, is kind of reminiscent of the deal to acquire Eagle High Plantations. That's 37% stake across a Felder over 2.2 billion ringgit.
Yeah, I mean, there were some similarities here. Let me just kind of outline them for you. So, on one hand, you got the auditors who don't approve these deals. So, remember for that Eagle High deal, there was that KPMG leaked report. That didn't look too kindly on the deal. Likewise, for this Asian Plantations one, Deloitte, same thing. The other similarity would be the exorbitant price, right? I think 2.26 billion ringgit, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, let's give Felder's side of the story. That 2.26 billion ringgit marked a 30% discount from the previous price. The Eagle High deal was seen also as a way to strengthen ties between Malaysia and Indonesia. And that's why Jakarta gave it this deal a green light back in January 2017. This also gave Felder access to Rajawali's sugar business.
Yeah, recall that this deal was originally under FGV. Shareholders didn't approve. I think even the EPF spoke out against it. So they moved it up to Big Mama Felder. So Big Mama Felder then took the deal. That being the Felder,
Mothership.
I call it Big Mama Felder, right? But keep in mind, though, with this deal, though, so Big Mama Felder actually got a loan from the federal government to fund this deal. So it's our money that we're talking about here, okay? Taxpayers' money. Okay, so on top of that, you know, after this deal, if you look online, you know, the negative headlines still coming out against Eagle High. For example, apparently they're being accused of not following the mandatory Indonesian Sustainable Palm Oil Initiative. You know, so what is our money, our taxpayers' money, going towards?
Yeah, so basically, let's give this a perspective. Eagle High says that it never got any revenue out of Europe. Their financial position is strong, cash flows have improved significantly, and they're committed to sustainable palm oil cultivation.
Okay, we're heading to the top of the hour. We have the bulletin. We'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Joyce Gold speaks to Nan Nusri Nan Rahimi, a group managing director of Dillium Group. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.